So that's what I'm trying to.
Singing, be seated, please. We're thankful that you're all here on this great Memorial Day. We want to thank our veterans, especially Al Chapman, our Purple Heart missionary of the vets, for his service and help keeping us free. I'm going to introduce you now to Brother Foy Wallace, who is one of our associate ministers here. Excuse me.
Okay.
His family is the Wallaces. And so that's the first mistake I made all morning. Foy Jackson. He's a son of a famous preacher, Hewlin Jackson. And he has been a chef all his life. You could never tell that. And I decided after eating a lunch that he prepared that we wouldn't allow his talents to lay fallow anymore around here. And so he is preparing dinner on Wednesday nights for ladies' nights out. So if y'all would like to come, we'd sure like to have you. And I'd like for him to tell you about his Sunday school class now.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. Forgive my voice. A little croaky. Kelly just wanted me to mention that on Sunday mornings in the auditorium during the Sunday school class, I teach a class. We would love to have all of you come, people that are not involved in the other classes. I don't take teaching my class on Sunday morning and the class on Wednesday night lightly.
Yeah.
I do some work at it. Last week, Kelly said, or last Sunday, he said, or last Wednesday night, he said, people sure did like that meal, you know? And I said, I'm really grateful, you know, but I really want them to like my class. I really want them to like their class, you know? Man doesn't live by bread alone, you know? Meatloaf is pretty good sometimes. Anyway, we have our class in here every Sunday morning. Starts a little bit later than 10, usually 5 or 10 minutes after. I think it's a blast. I think it will bless you. It blesses me to work on it. It blesses all of us to be here. We should invite you to come and participate in that class on Sunday mornings. God bless all of us. The grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen. As long as I don't call him Wallace too many more times, he'll forgive me. Brother Foy Jackson, we're sure glad to have him. He's a great missionary, and he's really takes serious his job around here, and it's so wonderful to have an associate minister that's full-time, that's really serious. You know, we're getting old in life. The time of playing is past. I don't have time to play anymore. I'll tell y'all real quickly about the joys of acupuncture. You know that I'm really hurting when I submit to witchcraft and acupuncture, you know. So I went to an acupuncturist this week, and you know something? All the time that they had those needles sticking under my toenails, my back didn't hurt at all. Didn't hurt at all. When they pulled the needles out, my back went back to hurting, but not as long as they had those needles sticking under my toenails. You know, brethren, we are very fortunate to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people are born and never hear about him. Don't know anything about him. Don't know anything about God. We are not an accident that we're here. This is a plan. In Ephesians 1:4, the Bible says, as according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, before God ever said, let there be light, he could look forward in history and see, there's old Kelly. Now, sure enough, old Kelly, he's going to be around her. He really is. But at some point, he's going to repent and he's going to turn to me. And because Kelly is going to freely choose me, it allowed God to choose me before he ever said, let there be light. He chose us. He loves each and every one of us individually. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. What for? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, he's done his part in choosing us before the foundation of the world. We need to do our part in being holy and without blame before him in love. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, Paul says, in the hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. God promised this eternal life, this wonderful thing, before we began, before the world ever began. He had a plan. The plan was to send his son to live a perfect, sinless life, to show us what God is like, to die on the cross, the most hideous of all deaths in the ancient world, to suffer such hideous death in our place, that we might be saved and come to know him, the one and only true God. Christ died and he promised to return again. And we have been studying this for several weeks. And this week we're going to put it all together. And so if you'll turn with me in your Bibles now to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5 verse 20. Now, this is early in Jesus' ministry, very early in his ministry. And he has just healed a man on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees are all upset about that. So we're going to pick up here in verse 20 in the middle of the subject. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that you may mark. What greater works? Well, Christ is fixing to tell us two greater works than the healing of the man on the Sabbath day. The first is the raising of the dead, and the second is the judgment that's to come, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, when did he do that? Well, he raised the widow's son under Elijah in 1 Kings 17. He raised the Shumanite's son in 2 Kings chapter 4 under Elisha. As the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth, that means gives life to them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And this shows the sovereignty of God. God is in charge of everything. And the Bible says, in the Bible, God says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. It is the sovereignty of God. God can do anything that he wants, and men's rules don't apply to this. For the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. Now, if we're going to honor the Son as we honor the Father, as we honor Father God, then that means that Jesus is not a creature, he is the Creator. He is not a created being if we're going to honor him as we honor the Father. That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which is sent him. Verily, verily, that means truly, truly, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word, Jesus' doctrine, his teaching, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that has sent me, credits and trusts that Jesus' divine mission is from God and puts their faith and trust in Christ to save them, and believeth on him that has sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. And that phrase there in the Greek means changed his country or place of abode. So we have changed our country from the United States of America to this new heavenly Jerusalem that's coming. That's going to be our country or our place of abode. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Jesus has not yet raised the dead, but he's going to. He's going to raise the ruler's daughter in Mark 5. He's going to raise the widow's son in Luke 7 at Nain. And he's going to raise Lazarus in this same book in John 11. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so even has he given the Son to have life in himself, as the Messiah, or as the envoy of God. This raising the dead. In the Bible, there are several different types of death. Three different types of death are talked about. Death is a separation. There is one, the separation of the body and the soul is one kind of death. Another kind of death is a separation from God and the soul. And the other kind of death is separation of the body and the soul from God in the other world. And that's the situation we don't want to get into. And corresponding to that, there are three types of life that are mentioned in the Bible. There is natural life, which is the union of the soul and the body. There is a spiritual life, which is God and the soul and us living by faith down here on earth. And there is eternal life, which is the union with God of the body and the soul in holiness, in realms of bliss that we don't understand or know, which is also known as the new heavens and the new earth. For as the Father hath laughed in himself and given to the Son to have laugh in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. He is the Messiah. Now in the Greek here, there you can almost hear a voice of objection saying, but you're a man. You were born a human. You know, how can you raise the dead and judge the dead? You're a human being just like us. And so Jesus answers that voice, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Not just a few people like Jesus raised during his ministry, the widow's son, and then the ruler's daughter, and the widow Nain's son, and Lazarus. Not just a few people. He's going to raise everybody up. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all they that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So judgment is by Christ. He has unerring wisdom and justice. And he will make the right decisions in judging everyone on that day. So turn with me now to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Beginning in verse 31. When the Son of Man, when the Messiah, shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. These are angels of exalted rank and authority. Will come with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And there shall be gathered together before him all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. In Scripture, sheep are looked on as being tame and gentle, while goats are quarrelsome and stink. And so even though shepherds might have sheep and goats, and he might feed them together in the pasture, when they brought them in at night, they always separated the sheep from the goats. And it's going to be just like that. Jesus is going to separate, divide the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and in the ancient world, a right hand always meant eminence. On his right hand, and the goats on the left. The left hand always meant rejection. There's poems by Virgil and several different poems, ancient writers, that talk about sheep inheriting eternal bliss while the goats inherit Tartarus, which is hell, just another word for hell. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This kingdom is not a new thought in God's mind. It was prepared from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. Sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. And so these are words that don't tell us what to do to be saved. They tell us the attributes of people that are saved. People that have met Christ and have become like sheep and are gentle and mild, they now try to take care of their fellow man, do good for their fellow man. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came to thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, as much as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So Jesus takes how people treat us personally. Isn't that wonderful? Then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That is a comforting verse. Hell was not prepared for Kelly. Now, I lived like I thought it was prepared for me for many years, but hell wasn't prepared for me. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. See, God had put it under their power to do good, and they wouldn't do it. God had gave them the power to do good. God gives you the power to do good. Are you going to do it or not? That's the question. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, in prison, did not minister to thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not. See, a sin of omission. Not only are there sins of commission that we do, but there are sins of omission, things that we fail to do when we have an opportunity to do them and we have the means to do them. As much as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away to everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And so now we have this picture of Christ coming at the end of time. He's going to raise all the dead. He's going to separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Historically, the next book that was written is 1 Thessalonians. And so let's turn there now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul wrote this about 52-53 A.D. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. Be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing and Fair to Midland gospel preaching. I'm happy to announce we have another record month this month. We've already had 46,000 hits on our website this month, 400,000 hits for the year so far. And stay tuned after this program for Brother David Tarbert of the White Rock Congregation. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, concerning the dead, that you sorrow not even as others that have no hope. The Gentiles bewailed and moaned and cut themselves and acted up at funerals and stuff. And Paul is saying, you don't have to act that way. Don't sorrow like those people because they have no hope of ever seeing those people again. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So when Christ comes back, he's going to bring the souls of the dear departed with him. He's going to raise the dead and reunite those souls with a resurrected body. What kind of body? We don't know. We don't understand it. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. God told him this. That's the authority. The word of the Lord. He got this as the word of the Lord. That we that are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. That word means go first. Shall not go first before them that are asleep. The dead are going to get the foremost place. When Christ comes back, the first people to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air is going to be the dead. The dead are going to be raised. They're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. The souls are going to be reunited with those resurrected bodies. And we'll discuss that a little more here in Corinthians. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And there, three distinct audible things that are going to happen then. The shout, that's like a sea captain that hollers, strike the mainsail. It's a particular word in Greek. The voice of the archangel, the chief captain or angels, and with the trump of God, the shofar, blowing of the shofar, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and even so we shall ever be with the Lord. Now this would give the idea that people might be going to heaven in their bodies like they got on now, because Paul didn't cover that subject. Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. Chapter 5, verse 1. But in the times, the long errors of time, and of the seasons, the short, brief periods that time is divided into, but of the long periods of time and the short periods of time, brethren, ye have no need that I write to you, for ye yourselves know that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. A thief implies loss. Coming in the middle of the night, catch you asleep, don't go to sleep, it's a switch. Be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Nothing has to happen before Christ comes again. There doesn't have to be an antichrist. There doesn't have to be 7 years of great tribulation first. That's all misunderstood. Nothing needs to happen before this happens. Shall so come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And so it's just like a woman going into labor. There's no way she can stop it when she goes into labor. No way at all. She's in labor. It's just that simple. And it's going to be just exactly like that at the coming of Christ. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll begin in verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. First fruits gives the idea that there's going to be a huge harvest at the end of the season. First fruits were early in the year. The plant's just now beginning to make fruit, and so it's the first fruit off the plant. If you have a lot of first fruits, it just shows you there's going to be a big harvest that's going to come. And so Christ's resurrection is first fruits. The big harvest is at the end of time. The first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, Adam and Eve, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Jesus overcame where Adam and Eve didn't. For as in Adam all die, and even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end of time. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. The kingdom of God is the church of Christ, the people of Christ. At the end, Christ is going to deliver up the people of God to God. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. Everything is going to be made subject to him when he comes, all rule, authority, and power. For he must reign, and over his subjects, over us, we're accountable to him. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So the last thing Christ is going to destroy is death. There'll be no more death when Christ comes again. So now we drop down to verse 50, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home. or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Stay tuned for the White Rock Church of Christ following this broadcast. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. The Bible tells us that when we see Christ, when he comes again, and we're raised from the dead, we're going to be as he is. Now, how is he? He's in a glorified body that we don't know and we don't understand. But he just materialized right in the room there with the disciples in Luke 24. And he said, touch me, feel me, for a spirit hath not flesh and blood as you see that I have. And he showed them his hands and his feet. And he said, do you have here any meat? And they gave him a piece of fish and of honeycomb, and he didn't eat before them. So it's not pie in the sky and the sweet pie and pie. We're going to have a glorified, resurrected body, one that can just beam me down, Scotty, and poof, you're right there in the room, but also one that's going to live forever, that is living in realms that we don't know and don't understand. But we know one thing, we're going to be like him when he comes. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, cannot inherit this final day that the church is delivered up to the Father. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery, mysterios. It means it's never been divulged before in Scripture. So in 1 Thessalonians, he said the people would be caught up together. He didn't say anything about the change of the body that I just talked to you about. Now he's going to talk about this change of the body. We're going to be like Christ is. We're going to be in a resurrected, glorified body. Behold, I show you a mystery, mysterios, never been told before, new revelation. We shall not all sleep, we won't all die, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, man, just like that, we're going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. See, here's this trump again that was mentioned in 1 Thessalonians. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This incorruptible is that they're never going to rot, they're never going to get old, they're never going to die. We'll play kick the can up there, Sister Ash. We're going to have a good time. That's right. Everybody's going to get a brand new body. I'm not going to be old and fat no more. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Here death is personified. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, because we sin. That's why we get stung by it. We have all sinned, and we're all going to die. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. The law says the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And that gives death strength. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So through Christ we can overcome this sin and death issue. And we can live eternally with God. And so now let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. And you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed, it's going to be a revelation and a manifestation. He's going to be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, angels with exalted rank and power. From heaven with his mighty angels, In flaming fire, God is described as a consuming fire in the Old Testament, and it simply means judgment. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God. The Bible teaches that the Gentiles are ignorant of God willfully, and their idolatry is a result of it, that they wanted not to know God. Most people today don't want to know God. Their ignorance is willful, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There you see, the gospel has to be obeyed. It's not just something to believe on. It must be obeyed. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." So let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 3. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers." During the whole Christian age, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be all kinds of trouble. There's going to be all kinds of false teachers, all kinds of false prophets, all kinds of magicians are going to be out there working those tricks, trying to trick you and trying to get your money and trying to get in your wallet and trying to hustle you and con you and make dupes out of you. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers," people that make sport and degrade the coming of Christ, "scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming?" These people are naturalists. Most people today are naturalists. This fits to a T today. Now let's talk about today. There's all kinds of people that are saying, oh, the end of the world's coming. They even got Nostradamus supposedly is predicted 2012. They got the Aztec calendar. It ends in 2012, saying the Lord's coming. Everybody in the world's predicting Jesus is coming. He might very well be coming. This is one of the most dangerous times in history. When I grew up as a kid, there was bomb shelters. All kinds of bomb shelters. During the Cuban Missile Crisis, there was a water culvert that went out through our backyard. It was covered up on both ends. And my dad had made a cellar out of it. He put food and stuff down there. Well, you know something? We find out now today that it was pretty close to the end. That those Russians had sent atomic bombs over to Cuba. And had we have invaded Cuba, they were going to use those short-range missiles against the landing force, and they would have been a nuclear exchange in 1962. We know that several times the alarms have gone off, signaling an attack, and there really wasn't no attack. There was a mistake, like the movie Failsafe. Well, we used to think that it was dangerous because there's two crazy people, a president of the United States and a president of Russia, that had their fingers on the button. Now today, there's a lot of crazy people that got their fingers on the button. You got them Pakistanis that's got atomic bombs. You got the Indians that's got atomic bombs. You got Jews that's got hundreds of atomic bombs. And they're not going to be gassed no more. You got the Chinese that's got them. You've got everybody in the world is after those weapons of mass destruction. Could it be the end of time? It could be. Very well could be. And it might be 8,000 years from now. We don't know. But what we're supposed to do is be ready. Be ready. Because this is going to happen suddenly. Get that picture in your mind. There's not going to be any warning. There's not going to be any sirens that go off to where you can take shelter. Taking shelter is not going to do any good. And there's going to be a lot of people that when they hear it, When this great huge noise begins, the coming of Christ in the judgment, when they hear that, they're going to say, I was going to church this coming Sunday, Lord. I really was. I was going to go down there and get Brother Kelly to baptize me. I was going to do it this coming Sunday. I swear I was. Everybody's going to have a story, aren't they? Everybody's going to have a story, and the stories are not going to make a hill of beans on that last day. The only thing that's going to count is what state you're in when the trumpet sounds. When the shout goes forward, the trump goes forward, when the voice of the archangel goes forward, when that happens just like that, it's the condition you're in right then. And if you're over here in the Golden Calf Saloon, sucking on one of them crack pipes and soaking up that beer, I'd advise you don't be caught there. I'd advise you don't be caught with your britches down. Be ready to do this thing, because we don't know where, we don't know when, but we know that a bunch of people that are not Christians all got their finger on the trigger, don't they? Knowing this verse, that they shall come in the last days, scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where's the promise is coming? They'll make fun of it. They'll ridicule the coming of Christ. Where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, since the apostles died, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation. And like I said, most of these people are naturalists. They believe in evolution and the natural order of things. They see time and harvest, they argue, is always been here. And that which is because it's ever been, and it'll forever be. And that argument doesn't hold water. Peter says you're forgetting two things regarding that. Things are not always as it's ever been. For this they're willingly ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. The Bible teaches in Genesis chapter 1 that dry land was one place. All dry land was all together, and scientists will tell you that today, because they match, everywhere matches. The bluffs in Morocco fit New York City. It's split apart at some times in the future, and the Atlantic Ocean got in the middle of it. All of Earth was one place, dry land. And so they're forgetting that. Everything has not continued as it was since the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God, God caused the dry land to appear out of the water. The heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world, which was then being overflowed with water, perished. And that Greek word, apollon, means changed. The world was forever changed after the flood. So here we've got the creation shows that everything is not as it's always been. And then after the creation, what happened? Well, it's 1656 years, there was a flood that destroyed everybody under Noah. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, and let's stop a minute. If you go back and look at the end of Genesis chapter 10, it says, in the days of Peleg was the earth divided. And the word Peleg means earthquake, and the word divided means split. So in the days of Peleg, the earth was divided apart, and this continental drift began, And it hasn't been millions of years like those people say. Give you another example of why this evolution can't be right. They lay out these ideas of strata, which is one strata and then on top of another strata on top of another strata. And it's called like pancakes, like you put five pancakes up, well, there's all kinds of layers there. And so they say that these were laid down over millions of years. But you know what they have to totally ignore to come to that conclusion? They have to totally ignore trees that they find sticking up through all of the strata. They all got covered up at one time for those trees to be sticking through all that strata. So they really are willingly ignorant. You see, that's what Peter says. They're willingly ignorant. These people who teach evolution just ignore those things. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, revealed unto fire against the day of judgment. There's going to be this day of judgment in which Christ is going to judge the world and everybody in it, and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The threats or the promises of God are not affected by the passing of time. God says, he that believeth and is baptized should be saved, and he that believeth not should be damned. And it works just as good right now today in 2009 A.D. as it worked in 30 A.D. and 31 A.D. The same promise that says he that believeth not shall be damned works just as good right now today as it worked in 30 A.D. Time does not affect the threats or promises of God. Now, there was some people that I've told years ago, man, the day I see you again is the day that you'll surely die. Now, I've changed. I've changed. And I don't mean that anymore. But God's not like Kelly. God's not like Kelly. The passing of time does not affect the threats and promises of God. You can rely on it. He said, he that believeth in me and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long-suffering does work, not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't want our worst enemy to perish. There's a jackass that I had to run off from here several years ago, acted up, stealing from the poor and stuff. And he cussed me out, man, down on Ross Avenue one day when I saw him. And I thought, boy, am I going to beat this guy to death on Ross Avenue? And then I said, no, I'm not. I'm the minister of Main Street Church of Christ, and I love the Lord, and I'm just going to go on. And I did. You know, last week I heard that somebody finally beat him up, give him what he had coming, and I rejoiced in my enemy's fall. And I shouldn't have done that. You know what? God's not willing that any should perish. He's not even willing that that jackass should perish. He really isn't. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come. Move on is what come means there in the Greek. All should move on to repentance. It's time for all of us to move on to repentance. And so I confessed that sin immediately, and Jordy and I prayed about it, didn't we, Jordy? And so that's what you do. When you goof and you don't do 100% right, you catch yourself, you confess it, and you pray about it. You move on to repentance. But all should come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And in the Greek there, that's very emphatic. It means surely coming as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And that's an onomatopoetic word. It means the sound of it ought to tell you what's going on. So when you hear this earth start cracking apart with a huge noise, you're going to know what's going on. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The atmosphere is the heavens where the birds fly, Genesis 1:20. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, dissolved back into atoms. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, everything in the world, this building, your fancy cars, everybody's fancy cars, everybody's fancy houses, your diamond rings, all of your money, it's all going to be burned up. All the clothes in your closet doesn't mean a hill of beans on that day. Seeing then that all these things, everything on earth is going to be dissolved, what manner of persons ye ought to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God. I want you to notice that if we're faithful in our duties, we can hasten him on. He'll come right on if we'll get faithful about this thing. Wherein the heavens are on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth. Now, in the Greek, there are two words for new. One is young versus old, and the other is fresh versus worn out. And the word fresh versus worn out is what's used here. Nevertheless, according to this promise, we look forward to new, a fresh, whatever that means, fresh heavens and a fresh earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, see, we need to look. We need to always be watching. Ye look for such things. Be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. Let's go to Psalms 1. What would God have us do till he comes? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Surely y'all know what that means. If you stay in the outhouse long enough, what are you going to come out of there smelling like? Don't live in the outhouse. Don't live around bad people. Remember old Lot. You know, once Lot got inside of them, they wouldn't let him go. They not only made a punk out of him, they made him like it and made sure that he liked it. He was scared to leave. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't listen to their counsel, what they counsel you to do. Nor standeth in the way in the street of sinners, where you see them all congregating over here. You're drinking them quarts. Don't go over there and be with them. They'll get you to drinking those quarts too. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Don't sit around people that sit around and scorn and mock all the time. If you listen to people putting down Christianity all the time, you're going to become just like them. But his delight is in the law of the Lord in the Bible, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So think about the Bible day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why aren't you rich? Because you haven't done verse 1 through 3. Why don't you have a better life? Because you haven't practiced verse 1 through 3. Why don't you have more assets? Because you haven't practiced verse 1 through 3. God blesses people who walk in His paths. God blesses people who read His word, who turn the other cheek, who repent often. God blesses people like that. And the ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, in other words, not with the righteous in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So what would He have us do? Let's turn to Romans chapter 12 and wrap up here. Romans chapter 12. All of us are kings and priests to God. So what would God have us do as a king and a priest to Him? I beseech you, that means I beg you on bended knee, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God used to have dead sacrifices. You'd have to take a lamb down to the temple. You sin, take a lamb down there. You give him to the priest. Priest cut his throat, bleed him out in a bowl, take the bowl and dump it on the altar, throw the part of the lamb on the altar, the rest of it's cooked for the priest and stuff. That was designed to get people. And see, you were supposed to bring your favorite lamb, the one that you loved the most, the one that you'd bottle fed. That's the one that you were supposed to offer as a sacrifice. And it was designed to get men to feel bad about their sins. But instead, you know what men did? They said, well, every time I steal, I got to take a lamb. So I see there's 7 days this week, so I better take 7 lambs. It don't work that way. You can't buy this salvation with money, with lambs. You can't buy it with anything. This salvation is a free gift. And the only way that it works is if there's a change, if you move on to repentance and there's a change in your life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He used to have dead sacrifices. Now He wants living sacrifices. What kind of sacrifice does He want from Kelly? He wants me to present my body a living sacrifice. That means that every time I'm tempted to steal and I don't steal, I presented my body a living sacrifice. Every time I'm tempted to curse and I don't curse, I presented my body a living sacrifice. Every time I'm tempted to chase wild women and I don't, I presented my body a living sacrifice. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. See, if you do that, you present your body a living sacrifice, it'll be holy and acceptable to Him, which is your reasonable service. And that word service there is what a priest does in the temple. He rendered service. So just like a priest renders service, God wants us to render service. What kind of service? He wants us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We put so much garbage in our mind for so long that we need to renew our mind. We've thought about Budweiser, 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 Budweiser. I've said Budweiser, I've said give me another Bud 10,000 times. And so to overcome that, I've got to put good in my mind far more times than 10,000 times to overcome that bad I put in my mind. Garbage in, garbage out. Good in, good out. It's just like a computer. So God wants you to renew your mind. He wants you to become a Christian. You do that through the gospel. Then He wants you to renew your mind. Work on reading the Bible day and night. Make the Bible your guide. Remember that Psalms 1. Blessed is the man. Jesus talked about people being blessed, didn't he? Blessed are the poor in spirit. There's the kingdom of heaven. It means happy. Happy down here on this earth, but happy in eternity forever when you see the goats go away into everlasting punishment and you with the sheep. How do you get to be a part of that? Well, the gospel of Christ. What is that? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If you believe that gospel, there's no reason for you to be lost whatsoever. God wants you to then put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you. For without faith, it's impossible to please him, the book says. Bible says we need to confess Christ as Lord. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible talks about us repenting for the times of ignorance God has winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And the Bible teaches us that we need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. In Acts chapter 22, verse 16, Ananias said, "And why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." If you're here this morning, you want to become a Christian, you're going to have that opportunity. You can just march right down here. Just meet me right down here at the front, and we'll talk to you about baptizing you into Christ. We'd encourage our radio audience to flee the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, what must I do to be saved, before it's everlasting too late. If you need the help of the church or the prayer for the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Praise God.
coming this morning, Sister Renee. How long have you been coming here, Renee? About a year? Almost a year. Renee, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Now ready to repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord. Say, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, amen. Baptized. Thank you.
As always, we'd like to take this opportunity to pray for those who have asked prayers on their behalf. And we have several that have requested prayers for themselves and family members, and we want to lift them up at this time. Our sister Donna comes forward, and she has requested prayers, and also she's confessing of sins, so we want to remember her. Also, Rania Andrews is giving her life over to God today, so we want to remember her and pray for her, especially after her baptism, that she'll be equipped with the fruit of the Spirit as necessary to help her stay on that straight and narrow path. Also, Sister Selma Taylor, who used to formerly known as Selma Prophet, she's asking for prayers for both family members on the Taylor side and the Prophet side. Her daughter, Willie Peters, and her son, Tommy, she's praying for them. So we want to remember the Taylor and the Prophet family in our prayers. Also, our sister, Esther Brown, is asking for prayers. I think this is Leslie Terrell. And she's asking for prayers. She is needing friends. That's a friend of Esther, so she probably asks Esther to pray on behalf of her. So let us remember her in our prayers. Also, our brother Ford Jackson, we know he left to go ahead and attend to his sister. So there he is. And she is going to be, she's awaiting the results from her test to see if she indeed has cervical cancer. I want to pray that the test results are positive, and of course, if they do find the cervical cancer, that we'll pray that the doctors and staff will administer the therapy that can cause the eradication of that cancer, put it in remission. Also, we have Robert and Winter. Winter's grandmother, Opal, has a brain tumor, and she's in need of our prayer, so we want to remember her as well. All right, let us go to our Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to approach your throne. We know it's only because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we've been given that opportunity, so for that, we're thankful and we praise your name. We want to pray for Robert and Winter, dear Father, that you will bless them in all areas of their life, and bless their family with their kids. And we also want to pray for her grandmother, Opal, that is facing a brain tumor. We pray, dear Father, that you will be with the doctors and staff, that you will give them the wisdom necessary to be able to properly diagnose and treat the brain condition, and that it will go into remission, dear Father, and that your name will be mentioned and you will be praised because of it. We pray also for Esther Brown, that you will continue to bless her in all areas where she needs you, and be with her family, dear Father, and help them and help alleviate her of all the burdens that she has. And as she prays for her friend Leslie Terrell, dear Father, we pray that you will be with Leslie and help her in all the areas where she needs you as well, and that things will work out for the good, and that she will know that that blessing came from you, and that she will praise your name. We pray for our brother Foy Jackson, dear Father. We pray that you will be with Foy and continue to bless him as he blesses us here. We thank you for him, dear Father, and we want to lift up his sister to you. We pray, dear Father, that if it be possible that when the results come back that it's negative for cervical cancer, and we pray, dear Father, also that if it is positive, that you will be with the doctors and staff, that they will administer the correct diagnosis and treatment, that it will be eradicated, and dear Father, that will happen soon, and that she will know that that blessing came from you. We want to pray for Selma Taylor, that you will, we pray that you will continue to be with her and bless her and the Taylor family, and also be with her daughter, Willie Peters, and her son, Tommy. Bless them in all the areas where they need you, and be with both the Prophet and the Taylor family. We pray for Rania Andrews, that as she gives her life to you today, dear Father, and obeys the gospel, that you will be with her, help her to continue to learn, study, and learn your way, and give her the wisdom and knowledge that she needs to continue on that straight and narrow path. And we pray that she will be an example for those around her, dear Father, that she will help to guide them. I pray also, we pray for our sister Donna, that you will be with her, forgive her the sins that she's confessing of, dear Father, and help her to overcome those sins when she's approached with them again. And pray also for my brother Trent, my older brother, who's facing losing a job after 27 years. Dear Father, we pray that that will work out and have a positive result. We pray for all of us that are facing financial, economic issues right now, and job issues, and all the things that we're going through, dear Father, we take it to you right now. We put it in your hands and pray that you will help us in all areas of our life. Forgive us all of our sins and shortcomings, and help us all to strive to be more and more like Jesus Christ every single day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Renee, based on your confession, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I meant to tell you a story. Our brother Al Chapman, who's our Purple Heart missionary at that, was on Guadalcanal in World War II, and a bombing raid was coming in, and he went into a shelter, and there was a mean old sergeant at the door of the shelter that told him, get out of the way, you'd be blocking the air, get back there in the back. And Al obeyed him and went back to the back of the shelter. And he said in about 5 minutes, a bomb came in and landed right in this guy's lap. And that's how Al got wounded. Had Al still been standing there, he would have been blown up with a mean old sergeant. So you see how God really has chosen us before the foundation of the world. God knew that Al Chapman would live 80 years and then hear the gospel of Christ at the Main Street Church of Christ and be baptized into Christ here. And it allowed God to operate entirely different in Al's life before he became a Christian, because God knew how he was going to act after he became a Christian. Y'all stay with Christ. And thank Al for his service.
We got any bass singers here? Let's stand this time. This sing number 9. For those of you that did not get here in time to take the Lord's Supper, If after the close of prayer you come forward and have a seat on the front row, we will serve you. Number nine. Each day I'll do,
they all do love Lord.
To meet the need.